Shabbat, Sabbath. Recently at a used bookstore, I came across Nan Fink's memoir, Stranger in the Midst, the story of her conversion to Judaism. She describes the preparations she and her soon-to-be husband made for Shabbat. On Friday afternoon, at the very last minute, we'd rush home, stopping at the grocery to pick up supplies, flying into the kitchen we'd cook ahead for the next 24 hours, soup and salad, baked chicken, yams and applesauce for dinner, and vegetable chilantor lasagna for the next day's lunch. Sometimes I'd think how strange it was to be in such a frenzy to get ready for a day of rest. Shabbat preparations had their own rhythm, and once the table was set and the house straightened, the pace began to slow. "It's your turn first in the shower," I'd call to Michael. "Okay, but it's getting late," he'd answer, concerned about starting Shabbat at sunset. In the bathroom, I'd linger at the mirror, examining myself, stroking the little lines on my face, taking as much time as I could to settle into a mood of quietness. When I joined Michael and his son for the lighting of the candles, the whole house seemed transformed. Papers and books were neatly piled, flowers stood in a vase on the table, and the golden light of the setting sun filled the room. Shabbat is like nothing else. Time as we know it does not exist for these 24 hours, and the worries of the week soon fall away. A feeling of joy appears. The smallest object, a leaf or a spoon, shimmers in a soft light, and the heart opens. Shabbat is a meditation of unbelievable beauty. I was sitting with a cup of hot chai in a red velvet chair at the Mud House, a coffee shop in Charlottesville, when I read that passage. It was a Sunday afternoon. I had attended church in the morning, then cleaned out my car, then read Those Can-Do Pigs with my friend's 2-year-old twins, and eventually wended my way down to the Mud House for chai and a half hour with a good book. It was not an ordinary work day, and I did feel somewhat more relaxed than I would on Monday morning, but it was not Shabbat. Nan Fink nailed it. Shabbat is like nothing else. And Shabbat is, without question, the piece of Judaism I miss the most. It is also the piece I should most easily be able to keep. A yearning to, say, observe the Jewish New Year, or a desire to hear the Torah chanted in Hebrew, those things might be harder to incorporate into a Christian life. But the Sabbath? The Sabbath is a basic unit of Christian time, a day the church, too, tries to devote to reverence of God and rest from toil. And yet here a Sunday afternoon finds me sitting in a coffee shop, spending money, scribbling in the margins of my book, very much in time as we know it, not at all sure that I have opened my heart in any particular way. God first commands the Sabbath to the Jewish people in Exodus, with the initial revelation of the Ten Commandments, and then again in Deuteronomy. The two iterations are similar, though not identical. In Exodus, God says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy," whereas in Deuteronomy, he enjoins us to observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Elsewhere in the Hebrew Bible, God elaborates upon this simple instruction, noting in Exodus 35, for example, that no fire should be kindled on Shabbat, and in Isaiah 66 that on the Sabbath the faithful should come to worship before me. There are in Judaism two types of commandments, mitzvot, the mitzvot aseh, or the thou shalt, and the mitzvot lo ta'aseh, or the thou shalt not. Sabbath observance comprises both. You are commanded principally to be joyful and restful on Shabbat, to hold great feasts, sing happy hymns, dress in your finest. Married couples even get rabbinical brownie points for having sex on the Sabbath. And then, of course, are the mitzvot lo ta'aseh. The cornerstone of Jewish Sabbath observance is the prohibition of work in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. Over time, the rabbis teased out of the text just what the prohibition on work meant, first identifying 39 categories of activities to be avoided on Shabbat, and then fleshing out the implications of those 39.